Welcome to the Short Commute Podcast. Pastor Drew and Zach here in my office. The next CRC position statement is baptism.
Baptism.
We've moved out of the A's into the B's in our alphabetical order here.
Wonderful. Making progress.
Yep. There are 40, and I think this is our third?
Fourth? Third? Okay.
So we got a long way to go.
Sure.
Let's dive in. This is the weirdest one to read because it's full of quotations.
Yeah, in this one, I noticed that the first paragraph is the most significant one, and the second paragraph I didn't find quite as interesting. But go ahead. You want to take it a paragraph at a time?
Yeah. The first paragraph quotes from Heidelberg Catechism 69, question and answer 69, and question and answer 74. And that's basically just pulling from those two Q&As
Yeah. The
whole paragraph.
Sure.
So it's strange to read without seeing the quotations, but here goes. The sacrament of baptism reminds and assures us that, quote, as surely as water washes away dirt from the body, so certainly Christ's blood and his spirit wash away all our sins. That's from 69. And because, quote, infants as well as adults are in God's covenant and are his people, they no less than adults are promised the forgiveness of sin, and thus by baptism should be received into the Christian church. This was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, which was replaced in the New Testament by baptism. And that's question and answer 74.
So what do you think is awkward about that, first of all?
It was just awkward to read, that's mm-hmm. all, just because it's pulled apart quotes.
Okay.
It's full of stuff.
It really is.
I mean, we were looking at some of the scriptures that they attached to the question and answers before, and there's a lot going on.
Infants as well as adults are in God's covenant and are his people. They, no less than adults, are promised the forgiveness of sin, and thus by baptism should be received into the Christian church. Obviously, big difference of opinion in the Christian landscape on infant baptism versus adult baptism.
Yep.
Do you find the argument a strong one?
I think the evidence is certainly there for infant baptism.
Okay.
For a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. The Acts 2 passage we read before 2:38 says, repent and be baptized. This is a promise for the forgiveness of sins for you and your children.
And for those who are far off.
So it seems that it's a promise. Baptism takes with it a promise of the forgiveness of sins, and it's for the believer and his children, no matter where they are.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's not limited by time, and it's not limited by geography.
Yep.
So children denotes generations that, you know, come ahead of you, and those who are far off would, you know, there's no boundaries in the world that would prevent someone from coming to know Jesus Christ.
It's not just
accepting
a Jewish thing.
Forgiveness. Yeah,
it's not just for Jews. It's for all.
Yeah.
The other two things that I think are convincing.
Yeah.
For me, is that I've been told that every instance that you see an individual baptized in the New Testament, their household or their family is also baptized at the same time.
Yeah.
Except for in the case of the eunuch, who would not have had a family.
True. Yeah.
By definition of being a eunuch. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's convincing, according to J.I. Packer, who's a theologian I like, infant baptism was the practice of the early church for a long time.
Very true. I don't know that in our day and age we give that enough clout.
Right.
Just proximity, time period wise, that, you know, the church developed practices, and they obviously had strong reasons for developing practices. So that's a good one to bring up.
Right, as instituted by the apostles themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, some of these early Christian writings, I mean, you're talking about only a generation or two beyond the apostles' death. And so, you know, things aren't necessarily going to be lost to antiquity by that point, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's a couple of other strong reasons for me, just logically, and, you know, I'm not going to credit myself with these ideas. I'm sure that I picked them up somewhere down the line, but when a believing set of parents a church-going, believing set of parents has a child.
Mm-hmm.
There is something, and it's loaded with grace because, you know, the fact that I was born to Christian parents, I could very well have been born to Buddhist parents in Thailand, whatever.
Thanks be to God that your parents were
right. So it's not anything that I've done or that they've done necessarily, but you know, a child born into a Christian home in a Christian church in a Christian, you know, community, you know, that child is going to be surrounded by the gospel and the teaching of God's word and the movement of the Holy Spirit, not just in individual people, but among his people. And that is a huge, huge leg up that none of us deserve.
That's incredibly gracious circumstances. Yeah.
In that way, it's hard not to conceive of the Holy Spirit, you know, working in that child's life really from birth, which makes the argument for me that baptism as an infant is appropriate,
mm-hmm.
and that profession of faith later on is a somewhat of a confirmation of that symbol, that promise.
Yeah. One other way I've heard infant baptism sort of articulated that I really liked,
mm-hmm.
was that what happens at an infant baptism is we take this gift of grace from God and acknowledge it from the beginning, saying,
sure.
"Hey, look, God's given us some wonderful gifts of grace."
Yeah.
Okay, good promise to remember, child and family.
Sure.
Where at a dedication, it's the opposite. It's saying, "Hey, God, we promise to you that we're gonna make sure this child gets the grace." It's a little bit backwards in which way the arrow's pointing.
Yeah.
A dedication is us to God, mm-hmm. and a baptism is God to us. And I like that about infant baptism.
Yeah, it acknowledges God's initiative towards us.
Right.
But also, you know, there's biblical evidence of infant dedications. Hannah dedicates Samuel.
Sure.
But it's for a different reason.
Yeah.
You know, the dedication in the Bible kind of denotes, I'm giving this child up for, you know, exclusive service to the Lord, serving in the temple, actually a complete giving away.
Jesus also dedicated? Ananias and Sapphira?
Did they call that a dedication?
I'm not sure.
I don't believe that was a dedication.
Regardless, that was before Christ's baptism was instituted.
Sure.
They had John's baptism, which is distinguished in Scripture as an outward thing, a sign of repentance, where Christ's baptism is about the promise of forgiveness.
Right. It has much more to do with belonging and acceptance into God's family than the baptism of John, which was, in essence, you're terrible, come before God on your knees and repent and turn from your evil ways.
Mm-hmm. I think one other thing to note in sort of what's different between infant baptism and adult baptism, as we were saying before, for someone who's been chosen, predestined by God, the Spirit of God is always at work in their life because we can't come to know God apart from His Spirit.
Yeah, I would make that argument too.
And so to baptize an infant is to say, hey, we're acknowledging that the Spirit of God has to be at work in your life for you to be saved at all.
Sure.
Because we can't do it on our own.
That's a good point.
Even though we do acknowledge that an infant baptism is not an assurance of salvation.
Right. It you do have to circle back, and it is a symbol, right?
Yeah.
It's a sign and a seal.
It's a sign of a promise, yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't guarantee. I mean, there are families, I'm sure, I've never had anyone outright say this, but who would think, okay, we got him baptized. Whew, we're good.
Right?
And well, that's not what baptism is.
No,
they're not saved because they're baptized.
Right.
We're only saved through the knowledge of Christ as Lord and what He did for us on the cross,
mm-hmm.
right? By faith alone and grace alone. But baptism reminds us that promise exists for all.
Yeah.
You, your children, and those who are far off.
And I do, you know, I do kind of want to just make the point that we believe in infant baptism and adult baptism.
Right. Well, let me read the next paragraph here.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead?
That says, in the Christian Reformed Church, baptism is performed by an ordained minister of the word, Pastor Drew here, or commissioned pastor, maybe me in a few months. We'll see. The usual method of baptism is by the sprinkling of water on the forehead of the person to be baptized, but other methods, such as immersion, may also be used. The CRC employs infant baptism for children of believing parents, as well as adult baptism for adults who join but have not previously been baptized in a Christian church. An adult who is baptized is also called upon to make a public profession of his or her faith in Christ. So we also believe in adult baptism.
Sure.
Because we ought to be baptized. Right. So if you're an adult and you haven't been baptized,
if you didn't get baptized as an infant, it's not like you missed your chance, right?
Yep.
Now, what do you think about method of baptism? Ordinarily sprinkling with water, is that theologically robust enough for you?
I think as a symbol, it's just fine.
Sure.
I think immersion's super cool.
Yeah. Well, that immersion simulates that death,
that dying
life,
and rising.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's important the way that the mechanics of how much water we use and how we use baptism.
Yeah.
But
immersion's a cool way, and that's just a personal preference. I just think it looks cool. The symbolism is way more vivid.
Sure. The sprinkling has a lot more to do with emphasizing the purification, just as water washes away dirt from the body, so the blood of Christ washes away your sin. Immersion kind of gets at both, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So we'll get a tank in here someday.
You can bring that up at council.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. I know baptism can be a divisive thing sometimes.
It's not for me.
Yeah, me either, but it can be for people.
Sure.
So we encourage feedback and discussion. I think that's healthy to think about and talk about.
And we hold our convictions with humility, right?
Yep.
And with generosity toward our brothers and sisters.
Of course. Until next time, see ya.
See ya.